House to be in order. Chair now lays before the House the third matter of unfinished business. The third matter of unfinished business, the House divided report from the Committee on Criminal Justice and Public Safety, a bill, an act to ensure humane treatment for special management prisoners. It was tabled March 24, 2010 by the Representative Portland. Representative Haskell, pending acceptance of any report. Chair recognizes Representative Portland, Representative Haskell.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, Madam Member of the House, I move the ought to pass as amended by Committee Amendment A, Report H-763, which is Report B. Thank you.
Representative from Portland, Representative Haskell, moves the Report B, ought to pass as amended by Committee Amendment A, Report. Is this the pleasure of the House? Chair recognizes Representative from Gardner, Representative Hanley.
Does
the Representative defer?
Yes.
Does the Representative from Portland, Representative Haskell, want to proceed? All right. Chair recognizes Representative from Gardner, Representative Hanley.
Okay, thank you. I'd request a roll call on which to speak, please.
Representative from Gardner, Representative Hanley, has requested a roll call. In order for the chair to order a roll call, must have expressed desire of 1/5 of members present. Sufficient number having requested a roll call. Roll call is in order. The Representative may proceed.
Which one?
You two stop.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen in the House, I rise in opposition to this pending motion, and I hope that we can defeat this and move on to another report. This simply is not needed. This is something that is already done. It's done on a daily basis, a weekly basis, by the Department of Corrections, the Board of Visitors, and the Board of Corrections. They report back to the Criminal Justice Committee, in essence, back to this body, on an annual basis, sometimes on a semi-annual basis, whenever we need them, whenever we have a question or concern. They are always available and have been of great help and a great asset to us. The system that we're dealing with now has improved immensely over the last 20 years. It has truly become professional. We spend somewhere, I think, with a fifth or sixth highest cost per inmate per day in the country, and that's for good reason, because we run very, very good facilities, offer excellent programs, rehabilitation, mental health services, training, and transitioning people back into a society. The American Corrections Association has, in 2006, at the main correctional center, gave a rating of a 96.6% from the American Correctional Association. In 2009, it was 99.6% of being in compliance. Those are incredibly high standards that they meet. The Maine State Prison in 2006 received a 98.4% compliance, and in January of this year, a 98.5% in compliance. Maine Attorney General's Office has stated that the Department of Corrections meets or exceeds all the requirements for the constitutional rights to protect the inmates. The DOC deserves something better than this. This resolve is unnecessary and unneeded. I would hope that we can respect the hard work, the incredibly dangerous work that our guards, our correction officers do, and move that we defeat this pending motion. Thank you.
Chair now recognizes Representative from Portland, Representative Haskell.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker, men and women of the House. Quite a number of the things that the prior speaker said, I agree with. I agree with the fact that the Department of Corrections here in the state of Maine is doing an extraordinary job, given the resources that we've provided for them. The past 5 years, we have, by our actions in appropriations and passing the budget, eliminated 90 positions in the Department of Corrections. It's 90 positions in the Department of Corrections. And I know every one of you who sits on another committee goes, well, they did that in my department too. They did that in Marine Resources, and they did that in Human Services. But we did that in Corrections as well. The amount of work that these professionals do is extraordinary, and the method by which they do it as well is extraordinary. And I continue to commend them for their hard work. Where I veer slightly from what the prior speaker said is, I think we can always look at what it is that we're doing. I think we can always strive to make some improvements. I think we can always have a little more oversight, a little more information. I think in particular of what we've done with our juvenile correction system, for instance. And I think any of you who have watched that over time has seen quite an interesting trajectory. And a great amount of that is based on the scientific information, the kind of reports that we get about what works and what doesn't work. We found out that boot camp doesn't work. We found out that strict discipline for very minor crimes creates a worse recidivism rate than matching the kind of the kind of supervision that we provide for minor crimes. And so in the juvenile system, we've taken that research and we've used it to develop what has been an extraordinary system. There are people who come from other parts of the country to see how we do it in Maine and what we do at Maine. And we've done that based on research and information and understanding. We've been presented, and there's been a significant amount of research done over the last few years around the impact of solitary confinement. And in many cases, when you read the research, you'll notice that they use such words as harsh deprivation, severe restrictions, isolated confinement, inordinate amount of time in segregation, and on. Much of the national research is based on some of the more punishment-based types of segregation which go on in and have gone on in our country and other places. And it's important to understand what the impact of that segregation and those severe and harsh conditions are. That's not the way we do it in Maine. We've been reading the research, too. We haven't had our heads stuck in the sand. We've been reading the research. And we've made improvements. The initiation of the mental health treatment unit at the facility is a prime example. When the ACA accreditors were here, they said it was one of the finest that they'd seen in the country. This is something that we've done hand in hand with advocates and partners, is work towards improvement. And I think we can continue to work towards improvement. I think we can take the research that we've had, and very frankly, I'll tell you that the amount of interest that people have shown in the conditions that our fellow citizens are in, who are in that facility, is of great comfort to me. I would be so delighted standing in front of Appropriations Committee and talking about what we're going to do when we lose our jail advocates, which we did 2 years ago, I think, or when we're reducing funding for those folks down there, to know that I've got more people standing up with me saying we have to be careful about how we're managing our resources in that facility. And so for all of the debate and information and lack of information that's gone on around here, what we have is raised the level of interest in what's happening with people who are behind bars. And those people are not only in our special management units. There are people just shy of our special management units who have mental illness and who are having difficulty getting along day from day. And there are people in the pods, in general population. And there are people in our jails. There are people who come in and out of our jails. There are people who haven't made it into the criminal justice system yet, who still aren't getting all the services that they need out in the community. There are parents who have adult children with mental illness who, when they have a difficult episode, don't know who to call, and they end up calling the cops. We haven't done a good job of providing that family with the kind of resources they need to deal with those folks with mental illness issues. And I think that goes right straight across the board. And I'm glad for the light that's being shown on it so that we can begin to move forward and continue with support, hopefully, of the rest of this legislature. And so what I've proposed in this amendment, in this report, is that we take a look at it, that we bring on the Board of Corrections Mental Health Working Group, with whom we have charged the responsibility all through our system for taking a look at this, and make sure that we understand how are we going to treat the mentally ill all the way up and down our system. Remember, there are two types of mentally ill people in the criminal justice system. There are those who have been determined not to have been responsible for their actions. They are not in prison. They are being treated in treatment facilities. Those mentally ill who are in our prison system, of those who have been determined to be responsible for their actions. And so there is a difference between those two groups of individuals. And I think that's an important one to note, because we have never been given either the responsibility at the Department of Corrections or the resources to run a mental health treatment facility. It is a prison. And we have to understand that when folks need treatment, that we have been continually providing that treatment. When folks were bouncing back and forth between the prisons and Riverview, and that's something that used to happen a lot until we had the mental health unit, and we're able to reduce some of those times when people bounced back and forth for treatment. So I think it's important to recognize the huge strides that we've made, and to give, but we don't have a reluctant department here. We have a willing department here who is willing to work with us and is willing to get the answers and is willing to listen to what our concerns are. And so I'd like to give them a chance to do that. So I'd encourage you to support this motion to report out Report B ought to pass. Thank you very much, Madam Speaker.
Chair recognizes Representative from Brewer, Representative Chelley.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, definition of torture from Merriam-Webster's dictionary: something that causes agony or pain, the infliction of intense pain to punish, coerce, or afford sadistic pleasure. Last week I was talking with one of my colleagues and friends here in the House, and we were talking about this legislation, and he said, "I'm going to vote for the prisoners." And at the time I simply said, "Well, I'm going to vote for the guards." But later that day I got to realize that was the wrong answer. I'm voting for the prisoners and the guards, the prisoners who would hurt themselves or others. When you are making the rules, you need to know how the game has been played. I hope all of you, or most of you, have taken advantage of the announcement I made about going down and visiting these units and seeing what we have. Representative Haskell was quite right in saying that we have the best. We have the best people, and we have the best program. Not only are these people taken care of, and they don't want them in those SMU units any more than they need to be. They're there to help them, get them under the right medication or the right treatment plan, and get them back out into the general population. What I find even more remarkable is the system that is set up to get them back into the general population, where they move from the more lockdown unit to a unit where they get to interact more with the prisoners that are in that block. They're getting them ready in stages. I think that's very important. I didn't see any torture while I was there. I did have them strap me into the chair, the restraint chair. And it's not like the old wooden chair that had the electricity running through it. That was cruel and unusual punishment. This chair was quite comfortable. As I've said before, I could sit and watch TV in that chair all night. They get to use books. They get to talk to each other. Prisoners are playing chess back and forth by talking through their doors. This is not what you saw in Shawshank Redemption. Now, if this is torture, then the international courts in The Hague will have to indict most of all parents, daycare providers, and teachers. For if what we are doing in the SMUs and mine is torture, then putting all of our children in timeout is also torture. Thank you, Madam Speaker.
Chair recognizes Representative from Harrison, Representative Sykes.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. Madam Speaker, ladies and gentlemen of the House, let's take a look exactly what this Report B says. It requires the Department of Corrections Commissioner, along with a mental health focus group from the Board of Corrections, to review the due process and other policies for the placement of inmates into the special management unit. This bill was worked extensively. It was lobbied hard. We had a public hearing that lasted until 10:45 at night. We heard testimony from folks inside the state and from afar. It's always interesting to look at how a bill is presented. In my opinion, this bill was presented as a terrible situation at the Maine State Prison. An emergency exists. Something must be done. The legislature needs to jump in and intervene. Terms of solitary confinement, comparison to prisons of 40 and 50 years ago. We even had someone come from a felon who did time in Angola prison in Louisiana, 29 or 30 years, to come up to speak with folks. Quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen, this is a scare tactic. The descriptions that we heard about the Maine State Prison were simply not true. They were comparisons from other places a long time ago. Those situations do not exist at the Maine State Prison. It's also interesting to take a look at the court and how they describe some of these situations. And let me quote from a court description about hardship conditions and whether they would equal torture or would be unacceptable. And I'll quote, "An atypical and significant hardship in relationship to the ordinary incidents of prison life," unquote. What are those hardships? Well, they look at three things. Is there an opportunity for exercise? At the Maine State Prison, in the SMU unit, there is. Secondly, they look at, is there an opportunity for out-of-cell activities at the Maine State Prison? There are those opportunities. Thirdly, do they allow contact with others while in or out of the cell? And at the Maine State Prison, they do that. So as far as looking at hardship conditions, the Maine State Prison doesn't even come close to qualifying for those things that the court has said. Again, let's look at the minority report. Review due process and other policies relative to the placement in the SMU. There are three types of segregation at the Maine State Prison: disciplinary, administrative, and high risk. DOC policy, when you're talking about due process and other policies, for disciplinary placement into the segregated confinement, the SMU, the Special Management Unit at Warren, requires the following: a formal hearing, written notice of the charge, the opportunity of the inmate to be present, the opportunity of the inmate to present evidence, the opportunity for the inmate to call and ask questions of witnesses, the opportunity for the inmate to provide himself with assistance of a staff member or another inmate. A written record of this formal hearing must be presented, and the opportunity to appeal. All of this is done before they're placed in the Special Management Disciplinary Unit. None of this due process is required. That's something, however, that the Attorney General has said goes above and beyond what is required. Similar to the disciplinary confinement, in the case of administrative and high risk, there is a similar type of due process. And I won't go through and read all of those, but I want to point out one of the things that happen in the situation with an administrative confinement or a high-risk management confinement in SMU. And that is, on a regular basis, not just once, but on a regular basis, if they're confined there for either of these two reasons, there's a review by a unit management team. That unit management team reviews it. It consists of folks from security and folks from caregivers, both medical and mental health folks, to review that placement and make sure they're headed in the right direction. In both of those situations, in the administrative and the high-risk management, there is the opportunity to appeal, and it's quite an extensive, if you look at the Department of Corrections policy, quite an extensive due process policy. Many of these issues have been challenged in court and upheld the Department of Corrections decisions and policies. Now we've reached the question as to whether or not we want, through this particular amendment, to have some more oversight, to look at policy, review, and so forth. Let's take a look at what the oversight is for the Department of Corrections, in particular at the SMU at Warren. First of all, there's a commissioner who is a tremendous advocate for best practices. There's a warden, a brand-new warden who, quite frankly, is reviewing each and every policy that they have. There's a board of visitors, civilians who come into the prison on a regular basis, meet with staff, they meet with prisoners. They make recommendations to try and resolve some of these issues. There is a Criminal Justice and Public Safety Committee who has made innumerable visits to the prison, in fact, to almost all of the correctional facilities that we have. You've heard from Representative Hanley about the American Corrections Accreditation process. Has done extremely well, very difficult to be accredited by the ACA. There is a strategic action plan that the Department of Corrections has, which responds to many of these criticisms. It addresses a lot of the improvements that they're trying to make. OPEGA has been involved. They did an audit of the Department of Corrections, and let me read to you, if I may, just a small portion of what OPEGA said to the Government Oversight Committee, who said to the Department of Corrections. The Government Oversight Committee of Action said they want to direct the Department of Corrections to continue the cultural change work it had previously initiated, continue the work they'd already initiated. There's a court system. Inmates make a lot of appeals to the court system. As we went through the public hearing, it was really interesting because each and every time we had a correction officer talk to us, we asked the question, have you ever been involved in or do you get an opportunity to make recommendations for a change in policy? And 100% of the time they said, yes, we do and we have. There is tremendous oversight at the SMU in Warren. I agree with Representative Haskell when she said, we need to always strive to improve. And quite frankly, ladies and gentlemen of the House, that's exactly what the Department of Corrections does on a regular basis. We don't need to tell them to do it more. They're constantly in that mode of policy review and correction. And you know, there's the issue of policy review or policies put in place, but there's another issue that's critical as well. And that issue is adherence to those policies by the employees. We asked the Department of Corrections to take a look at disciplinary actions for failing to live up to these policies. Accountability. And we got a list. And yes, there are some folks that did not live up to those policies. They're no longer with us. Talk about accountability. We may have a couple of cameras in this facility. There are hundreds of cameras in the Maine State Prison. So they're constantly being watched, being held accountable. I worry about what the message that we might send to the Department of Corrections, to those correction officers, if we say, yes, let's pass this resolution. I think the message they're going to get is that something's wrong. You're doing something wrong, and we're going to find out. The policies aren't working. You're not living up to what you're supposed to be doing. And we're going to find out. That's not a good message to send to those folks. At first, I was not sure why this bill was presented here in Maine. But then I received, and I think we all received, an email message from the National Religious Campaign Against Torture. They even used the word torture. That National Religious Group Against Campaign Against Torture said right in the email, we want a model bill, model legislation from the state of Maine that we can take to other states and run it up the flagpole. We had expert witnesses come up and talk to us with inaccurate information. We had a number of outside groups from Maine come and tell us what we should be doing here in the state of Maine. Ladies and gentlemen, this bill, even this resolve, is an insult to the state of Maine. It's a slap in the face to those employees of the Department of Corrections, and in particular, to the men and women, correction officers, who quite frankly, put their lives on the line every shift they put into the prison. Is the Department of Corrections perfect? Absolutely not. Do they constantly strive to improve? Absolutely. And I've listed a number of ways in which that oversight and that improvement is taking place. Ladies and gentlemen of the House, I will not put my name on such an insult. I hope you will not as well. Thank you.